This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Christy Herrera of the American Legislative Exchange Council here in Washington. While there's some talk by congressional Republicans on Capitol Hill of repealing the recently passed health care bill that the president signed into law today, the better odds, if there is going to be a victory in the opposite direction on this issue, is going to come in the courts as states fight to prevent the individual mandate from being forced upon their citizens. And Christy, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Greg. It's good to be here.
You and I have talked about this before. Update our listeners on the status of this fight.
Well, it's good news in that this effort nationwide is accelerating rather than retreating, no doubt due to the actions in Congress over the weekend. But we are now up to 39 states that have either introduced legislation or have announced their intentions to file legislation that would basically stop the federal individual mandate at the state line.
And how does this dovetail, if at all, with the legal challenges we're seeing?
Yeah, well, there's a two-pronged approach, one being the 13 state attorneys general, as you mentioned, that have agreed to file a suit on the federal government on a number of grounds, most notably the federal requirement to purchase health insurance and its constitutionality. But also there is an effort by state legislatures to enact laws or constitutional amendments that would make it the policy of the state that no individual shall be compelled to purchase health insurance within its borders. And so what this does is it works in complement with the AG effort in that it gives a state legal standing. If any state introduces what they're called health care freedom acts, if any state introduces the Health Care Freedom Act and it becomes law, that state now has legal standing to fight this challenge in court. And that's exactly what Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli has said he would do, is use the recently enacted Virginia law as a basis for a constitutional challenge.
38 different states have either done this, have begun the process, or about to begin the process on this, which suggests that this is not necessarily a partisan issue, although my guess is that Republicans are probably more enthusiastic about it than Democrats. But what type of bipartisan effort is there behind this, if there is one?
The bipartisan cooperation has been astounding, just as we saw over the weekend, where the real bipartisan support was against the federal health reform bill and against the individual mandate. We're seeing the same thing in the states. The laws that Virginia had passed and were enacted a few weeks ago passed the Democrat-controlled Virginia Senate. In the House, 55% of House Democrats voted for the bill, a majority of legislative Black caucus members. You see that in Oklahoma, where 20 House Democrats voted for the Oklahoma Health Care Freedom Act. Missouri's Health Care Freedom Act was supported by 30 House Democrats. In Tennessee, it passed the Senate with only one no vote. And so we're seeing that, again, the real bipartisan cooperation has been to stop this unconstitutional individual mandate.
Christy, you mentioned Tennessee, and I know their Democratic governor has been very outspoken in the precarious nature of that state. Its budget, how they've already dealt with a government health plan to some extent there that did not turn out well. How much of this is about protecting the citizens, and how much is it about very strapped state budgets being asked by the federal government to take on a whole lot more?
Gosh, that's such a good way to phrase it, because it's really about both. The first thing is to make sure that, yes, while we have safety net programs like Medicaid and Medicare, and while we may have, God forbid, the public option down the line, it's lawmakers' job to protect the rights of their citizens to not participate in those programs. Now, to that extent, what we're seeing at the federal level with the bill that was signed into law today, an unprecedented expansion of the Medicaid population in many states, it's usually the number one or number two line item is Medicaid spending in the states, and states can't pay for the folks on Medicaid that they have already. Now, what the federal government is proposing that most states add between 20% and 80% onto their Medicaid rolls, which would frankly bust state budgets. So that's why you're seeing folks like Governor Bredesen in Tennessee and others try to stop this from coming down the pike.
Christy, I don't know how much you follow the legal end. I know you're pursuing mostly the legislative side of this, but we've heard all sorts of different ideas about where this will stand in court. In addition to the Attorney General's challenge, obviously, if these states pass laws that conflict with the federal law, they'll end up in court as well. How strong is the constitutional ground?
while it's a very winnable case, we have the most pro-federalism Supreme Court that we've had in a while, and especially under the Roberts Court, we've had a number of Supreme Court cases that have ruled on the side of states to protect the liberties of their citizens to a greater extent than what federal law allows. State constitutions already provide these kind of greater protections in the form of free speech issues or due process issues, and so these health care freedom acts would be another step towards that direction of the state protecting their people. So we're very optimistic that something like this can be winnable.
I know a lot of people around the country after the feverish end of the House debate probably have phone ear and a sprained dialing finger, but how important is the public input on all this?
It's so important because the fight isn't over. And I think, you know, what someone mentioned today, I was watching Fox News, is that we still have the regulatory aspect, we still have the legal aspect, and we still have these state aspects. And so for folks that can't get into the Capitol switchboard, which I know has been overloaded, they can still go to their state house and express support for these health care freedom acts that are being proposed in 39 states. And your listeners can go to www.alec.org, click on the button that says Freedom of Choice and Health Care Act, and look at their state and follow the state legislation and all of the state legislative sponsors.
As we let you go here, Christy, how much is time of the essence here? How soon do you hope to have as many states as possible consider, vote on, and either pass or give thumbs down to these bills?
Well, the individual mandate doesn't take effect until 2014. As I mentioned, we had 39 states file legislation. Six of those states, the bills have died because sessions have ended. But we still have Virginia and Idaho, and in a handful of other states, this legislation is moving very quickly. And so we only need a couple of challenges in order to really kind of, you know, lob an arrow at the federal government, and that's really what we're hoping to do.
And in addition to Virginia and Idaho, Arizona will put this before the voters in November, so that issue will literally be on their minds as they head to the voting booth. Christy, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Greg.
Christy Herrera of the American Legislative Exchange Council. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.